I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. Yo, Gloom listeners, it's The Plague, and today I'm talking about getting your finances as fit as your physique. Our very own F3 Omaha brother, Jean-Claude, aka Michael Pfluger at Avior Wealth Management, specializes in building personalized financial plans. He understands the journey you walk in life as a man of faith, safeguarding your family and creating a legacy. Jean-Claude is ready to help you plan your finances with intention so that you can live with purpose. And that's just the beginning when you work with the Avior Wealth team. Visit avior.com/F3. That's AVIOR.com/F3. And see how Michael can guide your financial journey today. Now let's get back to The Gloom.
And we're back. This is awesome. This is the second time I've seen this guy today, because we were testing the technology, and we've got it working, which is always a plus. I also have to say, I was thinking about this conversation today. I feel like the first time I met this guy, it was because we pulled up to coffee and we're hopping out of the same truck. We're wearing the same shoes. And I was like, hey, like one of those moments, like, did we just become best friends? But I
get confused as twins all the time. So
I think so. I would agree. But I got my man Killian's on, and obviously, he got to launch a site in town here called The Ruckus, which really, really cool opportunity. I'm sure we'll get to talk through that. But Killian's, man, take us back. What was the EH journey like? Who EH'd you? And then I think people, if they know your hospital name, they might know how you got Killian's, but tell us how they land on that nickname.
Yeah, it was super creative. They really dug deep for it. But I'll start with the EH, because it's a very unique story to no one. If you've listened to this wonderful podcast before, like, it is so similar, just, out of shape, person who needed help, but just didn't know they needed help type of thing. And we're all friends, so it's great. No, so Star-Lord, fun fact, is my next door neighbor, like 15 feet cool. from my front door. And you know how bubbly and personable he is. So he's hard to say no to. So there was a weekend where we were sitting on the patio and just having conversations. And he had started in like June or July, I think. And we were in September. So he was after me for a while. And I was like, listen, I don't get up that early. I don't need to. Look at me. I'm in great shape. And I was like, 65 pounds heavier then, so it's not a good look. So we were at the time coaching or helping coach my daughter's volleyball team, and Baby Mac over Jake was on that team, and the head coach was actually Walleye. We weren't really all that close in the beginning, and then we kind of homogenized over coaching, and then we went to a church festival at St. Wentz, and I went up to Jake or Baby Mac and I said, listen, do you remember when we were in shape and like we could do stuff and like we didn't feel like this? And he's like, no, I don't remember that. But yeah, but we're going to go to a workout for Paul or Star-Lord next Wednesday. He's like, fine, let's go. And if you go back, and I do occasionally look at Nemo from that, and the lights are on, but nobody's home. Like, it's just, it's pathetic. And so I think when I got in the naming circle, I said, Patrick O'Reilly, you know, I used to like to work out. I don't anymore now, obviously. And I like to drink beer. And they were like, Killian's done. Got it. Yeah, so yeah, it was like super on the nose.
That's awesome.
It's a great introduction.
So really a neighborhood kind of thing. So were you and Baby Back F&G's on the same day?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So it was a coupon workout where we were lifting him over our head, and I was pretty sure I was going to drop it on my face at a couple points or spill Merlot, as they say. So yeah, it was a great introduction because he was like, I've never led a workout before, so this is going to be my BQ, which was a lie too. He just lied about that completely to get me to go. So I was like, fine, I'll go. But yeah. Yep.
That's funny. So Starlord was queuing. Where was it at? Do you remember?
It was Top Rope, actually.
Okay.
It was a very cool experience because it was brisk. It wasn't too bad, but it was neat. There was a ton of guys and the energy just immediately was like, how do you guys do this? Like, who are you people?
Yeah.
But immediately just saw like the brotherhood and the people coming back and like, hey, how many reps you got left? Let's do it together. And I was like, I don't even know you, man. Mm-hmm. So the funny names of stuff, and it definitely was a shell shock moment. First.
So you previously worked out in life, or did you play sports growing up, or what was your, like, talk us through that fitness history. And then at what point did you stop working out, just kids and stuff? Or?
Yeah, no. So like always was in sports. I played football all through peewee to high school, had college scholarships, and then ended up not doing football through a very funny story with my sister, who's like, do you want to be able to hold your kids one day? Like, look at these guys. They're beat up. They're walking around. You're not going to play for the NFL. So it was like, oh, all right, cool. So I'm just going to do school because I really wasn't great at school and my parents actually were paying for my college. So it put me to the next level where I started getting Dean's List and just 4.0 and like really trying hard. So I kind of quit working out, like tangentially would work out every once in a while. And then like, you know, the eating and drinking habits of a college kid caught up to me. And like one of my favorite pictures I have is one of my IDs from back then. It just looks like this face with a mustache and it's just perfect. My wife hates it. So, but yeah, so then it really just kind of became like off and on. And then when COVID hit, it was just worse, right? Cause you work from home for 2.5 years, you don't see other people, you wear sweatpants all the time. So dress pants don't really hold you accountable. And, so then just kind of faded into a blob. It was a very good wake up point. Cause I was like, man, I'm still strong. No, you're not.
Yeah. So where were you going to go to play college ball at?
Like, so UNO, every little school around here, Dome, Dana, and all that stuff. I had one from K-State. So I still have those letters somewhere. And I Al Bundy it every once in a while and look at them. Like, oh, this is so cool. I'm like, but you didn't do it. So it's not really something to be proud of, man. But yeah.
Also, funny. Also, and then where'd you end up going to college?
So I did go to UNO. And it was actually kind of fortuitous because they folded the football program like a year later, due to our friend Trev Alvin. So yeah, it was probably meant to be, is how I'll say it.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, it's so interesting just hearing, you know, cause a lot of guys, right, they start young playing sports and they're in shape and then, you know, inevitably, right, it's those transition moments. So you got over how'd you get over the waking up early hurdle?
So it was a really cool experience because we started at Top Rope and we were 5 day a week guys at that point. We were really like maybe Monday, Wednesday, and maybe a Friday. But what we started to do was Tuesday and Thursdays, we would ruck in our neighborhood actually. So it was, you know, Star Lord, Baby Back, and I would just ruck. And I had a brand new dog at the time. So it's kind of that excuse to start waking up early, getting him outside. Kind of evolved from there of like, hey, you know, we're going 2 days a week. We probably need three. And then fast forward maybe a month into it, and we were hook, line, and sinker like 5-6 days a week. And then we folded in walleye, and it was just like the best thing. So, you know, we talk a lot about shield mocks and stuff like that. And like ours just kind of organically formed to the point where it was just, hey, where are we going tomorrow? Right. And we kind of developed a name and all that fun stuff for our shield mock.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Canadian Bacon actually called us like, God, you guys are big effers. And I was like, okay, cool. He's like, you guys are like the whole line. I was like, sweet. So we just leaned into it. And it kind of just evolved. It really did.
I love it. Talk us through, I don't know if you listened to, I just had Barbershop on and was, or not Barbershop, Barbed Wire, and was giving him crap because when we were launching the Ruckus, he was sort of like, oh, I can't believe we're launching a rucking site. We got to convince guys to do more running. And I was like, well, this whole open to all men thing and, you know, go back and listen to it. He doesn't hate rucking. I think he just, you know, he's a hammer and he likes to run. But talk us through where does rucking fit in your fitness journey, and why was that such an important piece for you?
Yeah, and it is funny. He's not the only one, right? Like I've heard a lot of. I think we left a leadership meeting one time, and he like came up to me, was like, "Nobody hates rucking. Don't worry about it." Yeah. It's like it's fine. It's not for everybody. You know, the genesis of it really was those Tuesday Thursdays, and we kind of pitched it as like, "Hey, we're not in the best shape yet. We can't do Murphs or Smurfs or any of that stuff. So let's do some intermediary and kind of build ourselves up." And it really took off and it resonated with not just the local guys, right? We're very fortunate. We have six F3 guys that live three blocks from each other. So it was easy to get the uptake there. But then we started getting enough attention to where I'm pretty sure it was Gator was like, "Hey, you guys can't do name hops after this. Like, it's not an official site. Don't do that." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I didn't know we were breaking the law." So, and it spoke to that. It's, you guys aren't inviting everybody. That's why. So, like, just start inviting people. And we ended up inviting everybody. And then we ended up in Star-Lord's garage, or what we called Galactic Grounds, where we'd have coffee after. And so it was like an organic cafeteria after. And it really just kind of spoke to the need, I think, in F3, because there's so many in-shape people that it can be intimidating, right? Like, I know I can't do pull-ups anymore. I can't do push-ups anymore. And so it was like, I still want to be around you guys all the time. How can we do that? And we had Oscar Mike, and Wentworth was a big advocate for us of like, "Hey, you guys are great. Like, why don't you make this official?" And I was like, I don't even know how.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think we went to Bunstown one Saturday and Gator was like, "Hey, I'm going to come out and talk to you guys about this." And I was like, "We're going to get in trouble again. Like, this is great." And he's like, "No, we love it. We're going to do a Tuesday, Thursday site. And like, what do you think about this?" Like, "No, let's just do one day a week and see if this works." Because Oscar Mike was incredibly successful and kind of just rode their coattails. And I think establishing a site and having kind of that consistency has really been awesome. And to see where, you know, Chalupa's taken it, it's really taken off. And it's been a low threshold of entry for a lot of people. I know a lot of people are intimidated about coming out. And like, if you get around us the first couple of times, it's overwhelming, right? Like, that's just a fact. But having a place you can go and just kind of chit chat with one or two people while you're working out a little bit, get a good sweat on by a rock, it lowers that threshold of entry. I think that's the most important.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I first started, right? And it was like, if you wanted to work out on Monday, the one option was a Murph. That was it. Right. So then if you're trying to EH a guy and he's worried about not being able to do it, you have no other option. You're like, so then you end up convincing people that come out for a Murph, they hate it, they can't do it, and then they never come back, you know? So I love, over the years we've lowered that, you know, barrier to entry, to your point. And, you know, I heard you kind of mention in there, you can't do pull-ups or push-ups anymore. Is that injury related or is that, talk me through that.
So when I first started, I could do like maybe one push-up and I was like, all right, I'm done. And Haboob actually was giving me a hard time last summer because they were doing the Smurf and Murph challenge. He's like, "Dude, you got to do one. It's not that hard." And so I was like, you know, kind of getting into that shape and kind of getting in my head where I was like, "I'm going to do one by the end of the summer." And baby back, Walleye and all our families went out to a vacation in Iowa and we got in a workout that Saturday morning. And I was doing pull-ups and this time I could do like 15 in a row unassisted. So I was like, "I'm going to crush this. I'm so excited." And then we did it on this weird bar. I felt like this kind of tear ended up separating my AC joint and tearing my labrum. And so I haven't been able to do pull-ups very well, but getting back into it, can do as many push-ups as anybody else, I think, for the most part. But yeah, I'll do Murph soon. I have a feeling.
Okay. Well, so because I guess the other thing you just briefly touched on, but so when you first started, you were 60 pounds heavier, and I think maybe the perception some guys have is, well, you can't lose weight as as much as fast, whatever, with rucking as you can with running. And so then that's why, you know, it's like, well, you got to run. But you did it. So talk us through that. I mean, did you get to the point where you have started running, or what's been that journey?
Yeah, I hate it. I still don't like running, but I do enjoy it. I think we were at Coronado one time, and Wayne Time was leading the workout around the school. And my whole goal was like, I'm going to beat him once, right? Like, I just want to beat him. He's fast as hell. So it was like, all right, I'm going to beat him. And I beat him once. And then that competitive edge came out and was like, all right, because I'm naturally a competitor. And when people are like, you can run? It's like, yeah, no, I can run. I just don't like it. When I first started, definitely was even worse off in the shape wise of running. And I think that rucking kind of builds that agility, but also that stamina in a little bit low impact way. So you don't feel like the knees, the ankles, the shins. You just don't get that from rucking as much. And I think it builds you up slowly to where you can start challenging yourself to, hey, we can do this. So not going to run any marathons anytime soon. Yeah. But.
No, I love it, because I do think, you know, if you read now, right, I mean, walking is, I think they say, healthier in terms of, you know, joint health long term than running, right? And so I think the way I interpret that is, I like to run now, but someday I'm going to need to like rucking, right?
you'll join us soon enough. It's fine. Yeah. No, the amount of studies that have come out, and like, it's always a topic of conversation on rucks. It's like, yes, running is a great, great exercise. It obviously burns calories, but you can get a lot of the same notional value from rucking, especially if it's too easy to add a little bit more weight, right? Mm-hmm. It's or go on one with a roll bar and he pulls out this giant 10-foot pipe for no reason. Right. Right. You know, hates everybody. So it's great. Yeah.
I've really been you know, I post 3 days a week. The other days I'm trying to be supportive of my wife, let her sleep in. And so I have a human little baby ruck vest that I wear. She's about 26 pounds, you know, and I will say, from a spiritual standpoint, I listen to stuff when I run, but walking, being outside, walking in creation, listening to scripture, it's been transformational for me. And so like this morning, she slept in, my our 10-month-old, and I was sort of like, wait a minute, you know, like, I'm not posting, she's sleeping in, how am I going to get that time? And so I would love to kind of hear, before we move on, because I also think there's a huge fellowship hook with rucking, but from your perspective, with your physical fitness journey, like, where are you at today? Have you met some of those goals that you were chasing, or you still have some more that you're going after, or where are you at?
Yeah. So I'm overall down about 65 pounds, which, you know, I know a lot of people do like the GLP-1s and stuff like that. And it was really fun to get to this shape and then come back to the office. People were like, what are you doing? Are you sick? Are you okay? And it was like, no, I just, you know, don't eat like I'm on death row anymore. And like, you know, work out 5 days a week, and it's not too complex. And so from a fitness journey, I feel better, sleep better. Definitely, you know, relationship with my wife is great. She actually, like, I got down to like 230 and she was like, all right, just stop. It's too skinny. Okay. Which is just funny to hear ever. But no, it's from a fitness standpoint, like I take a lot of pride in the fact that like this weekend, we're actually doing the 50-mile march from Lincoln to Omaha with a lot of our F3 brothers. And if you would have asked me 2 years ago about that, there's no chance. Like, that would have been inconceivable to me. So I think having that pride in yourself again, it's kind of nice, right? And like your kids saying like, oh, dad is strong, right? Or like doing push-ups and then sitting on your back and then like, wow, you can lift anything. That it kind of gives you that confidence back. Whereas I don't think even running around playing with them, you know, in the backyard, it's kind of a, yeah, I'm talking to people, just go. And now it's more of like, hey, can we play that game again? Sure, let's, you know, tear it up. Yeah. So it's a lot more fun. I would say it's, you know, and F3 played a large part of that, not only from the fitness standpoint, but just being a better dad. And we talk about the concentric all the time. It's definitely a remarkable experience. And it's something that I think, you know, when you see your kids start to appreciate it, like, that just gives you that inertia to continue forward.
Yeah. Something about, and you hear it called, you know, unlocking men, or you hear, you know, that guy's accelerating or whatever, but that confidence you gain, right? You prove to yourself that you can overcome whatever barrier, and then that barrier is gone and you're sort of like, what else can I do? You know, like, if I can do that, you know, what's been, I would be curious, like, as you got to that point where you, the pounds were dropping and you're, I mean, 65 pounds is that seems like a lot. I don't know. But like, from your perspective, did you like, has that been, I don't know, what's that been like for you, I guess?
You know, it's great, right? Like, I think the clothes fitting differently and having to go buy new clothes, it seems like a burden, but like, it's a really cool experience to be like, oh man, I haven't fit in these since like eighth grade. You know, so like that pant size or, you know, just shirts fitting differently. And again, you get more positive attention, as terrible as that sounds in our society, but you do. And I think it's not just your personality, it's how you present yourself. And that, not so much from a physical standpoint, but like you're talking about that confidence, right? Like you exude more confidence. You're willing to be more vulnerable. You're willing to like raise a hand for a project at work where you're like, listen, I did 150 burpees this morning. This is the easiest thing single-handedly I can do today. And it is true. It just builds that confidence in yourself to be able to take those risks and be more vulnerable. I don't know that I would be here necessarily, not just from the physical aspect, but just from the whole total package.
Yeah, I love it. That's so cool to hear. I think, and that, you know, to me, it's like that feeling that you're like, how do I now give this away? Right. It's like, how do I like get other guys? And that, I think it's so hard to explain that feeling when you're trying to EH a guy, like it just comes out as like, no, you just got to show up. Like if you just show up and then let it do its magic, like, but it's that feeling I think we're really trying to give away.
Well, it's funny because I've been out of the dating game for a long, long time. And we always joke like, man, I just feel sorry for people who have to get back in it. But that's what it feels like sometimes when you're trying to like tell people about F3, they're like, well, pump the brakes. All right. Yes, I'll go on a date with you. You got to come in experiences. It's so awesome. And then it's just like, you had them. Yes. Okay. They're fine. Stop. Like, so yeah. It's been a maturation process of engaging people. It's the slow drip method is what I do. It's like, oh, yeah, no, it's not bad. Come out, you know, try it out. And then, yeah. Oh, why do you like it? It's like, it's great. You know, so slow playing it has become my more effective EH thing. And if you talk to anybody in our office, like, you get it. It's great. Thank you so much.
You can stop wearing the shirts. We know. Yes. We know you do F3. Yeah, that's funny. Well, talk us through, because I do think there's a huge second half or fellowship component to rucking, and it sounds like you got started with. It's almost like you had a shield lock very early on. But what, talk us through that progression and kind of how those relationships have deepened over time.
Yeah, you know. Really fortunate, and I always think God puts you in the right place at the right time, and whether you have the ability to recognize that opportunity that moment, or you know, look back 6 months from now and say like, oh wow, that was it. And like I said, it was a weird time in life where, you know, I lost a parent in 2019, we had COVID, and it was just a very isolated person or isolated period of time where I'm a person I like to be out around other people normally. I lost that. I just did not care to engage a lot. And, you know, my oldest daughter started doing sports and was kind of on the peripheral of like, hey, this guy's going to coach. I can shag a ball here or there. And then we just got to talking. And then again, you guys live right down the street from us. Like, okay, cool. And so that, you know, naturally formed a snowball that rolled down the hill. And then, you know, at one point we're wearing jumpsuits to practice in games. And like, there's a couple of pictures floating around out there of like different track suits we were wearing. It's entertaining, right? And watching three big dudes coach a six-year-old volleyball was entertaining enough. But you know, then you kind of build those bonds and you want to, like we talked about, give it away. And that's when we pulled walleye in. And yeah, it just kind of grew from there, really. I've met so many tremendous people through it and that fellowship aspect of it. I was in a fraternity. We did community service. It wasn't really community service. It was just, hey, we're going to do this to get our name out there. This is so much different. Like, I want to go be a part of these things. I know, I think it was Splinter who had a storm like a year ago or something on his property and needed help. And I took Baby Back's daughter, mine, out there. He was doing something else and they just rode with me like, yeah, let's go help. And they were just like, are these all your friends? Like, this is crazy. Like, do you know these people? I was like, no, I don't know his name. I don't know his name, but it was just that community, that fellowship. That's like, yeah, we're here to help. And then you do the more formalized events. Like my kids like the trunk or treat or whatever we call it, that we did last year at Wolfden. And they're like, when are we doing those again? So it's been cool. And even like our kids start getting together and let's do another dad workout because we do one on Father's Day that they really enjoy. It's just neat to see that whole, you know, it starts just a small workout in the morning and then it reverberates through every aspect of your life and makes you change the way you think about family, with the way you prioritize family. You know, just a lot of different aspects get affected by this one little workout that they didn't think it's going to evolve.
Yeah. That is so cool just to hear like the community of positive influence, right? That you're not only you guys are experiencing, but like your kids now, you know, are also getting to be a part of that. What, so, and we, you don't have to go there if you don't want to, but I kind of heard in there just a brief little, you know, oh, I lost one of my parents. You mind sharing that with us or talking us through that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up a very Irish Catholic family, obviously. And faith was always a big proponent of my mom's. And she was a big driver behind that and just, you know, got me more enveloped in the church, got me comfortable. It really made me embrace it. It was something that, you know, carried with me through high school, college, all the way out to even when I met my wife. Like, she actually became Catholic just so we could get married. And it's very important to me. And then, you know, we kind of hit that where she got pancreatic cancer, beat it for a while. And then it ended up coming back and ended up passing away in 2019. And I remember the day after she passed away, I went to church because I was like, this is it. This is what you need. And it didn't help at all. Like, it just, you know, left you kind of feeling empty still. And so that's kind of where it started to go down for me, is I just lost faith in a lot of things. You know, you question the why. It was hard. It was really hard because it was something you know and you trusted and it's kind of relied on, and it felt like it was gone. So for quite a few years, like, I became like we'll go if we can, or, you know, and it really shortchanged my family, I think, a little bit, especially my daughters, of like not seeing why it's important. Again, not to go back to F3 being a genesis of a lot of things, but, you know, hearing other men be vulnerable about their faith and seeing like you guys do Bible studies and stuff like that, I was like, what? Like, why? You know? And then you hear the impact of it and you get reminded of different things of why it's important. So I did start to go back, and we're back in the groove of liking it, but it was a big kind of a gap. It almost feels like a blank spot with my faith. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it wasn't great. Definitely was a challenge, but I think, you know, coming out of it and having, you know, that fine example of what it's supposed to be like or what it can be like and be vulnerable to those things, definitely changed my perspective. Helped me get back on board.
Yeah, I, you know, it's interesting, right? These big moments of like transition or loss, where just, you know, you're put to the test, right? Your faith, or just, you know, and there's, you know, different directions you can go. And I think we see guys in F3 that have been through similar things. And one, you know, like one guy chooses to get back into his faith after a while, another guy's still searching. But the cool thing is, like, both of those guys have a spot, you know, within the group. And, you know, it's just really, for me, it's like, it's so apparent that F3, one of the things missing in our society is the space to explore or to reengage, without like an expectation that, like, you know, if you showed up to a church or whatever. And so that's really cool to hear.
I think, you know, again, like, it creates a space, like you said, but it's also, it's not a right or wrong. Right? Like, we have people of plenty of different faiths. And I think, like, they always say it, like, as long as you're believing in something. And I think that's such a unique perspective, because when you get around certain pockets of religion, it's like, it's this way or no way.
Right.
It's not really life. Right. And I think that's what's unique about this group, is while there is a Christian tinge to it, there's all sorts of everybody welcome, and they still, you know, want to hear your perspective and encourage you to give it, which doesn't happen a lot of other places. So I think that's kind of what makes this organization.
Yeah, I would love to hear too, and appreciate you sharing that story. I know it's probably never easy to reflect back on losing your mother, but talk me through, so you talked a little bit about rucking with the guys in your neighborhood, but just in general, what do you see in terms of the relationships that rucking sort of leads to when guys start engaging in that activity? How do you see that benefiting them on that second F level?
Yeah, no, I think you get to know people a little bit more on an intimate level, you know, outside of the tangent to like, hey, how was your weekend? What'd you guys do? And then, you know, if you're lucky enough to continue to rock with the same crowd for a while, like you get to know them. We have a fairly new person, Rocketman, who has started to rock with us on Tuesdays. He's got such a cool story. And like, I would have never pictured me like asking, hey, how was your band gig this weekend? Like, what did you guys do? You know, and create these bonds to where you're like almost waking up excited to hear about how they're doing, or to hear how this event went. You know, and just like even getting into those relationships where you know somebody struggled with their wife, right? And hearing kind of similar themes, right? Like it's not just you who's having that. Trust me, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt type of thing. You know, this is how I would, you know, maybe approach it, or hey, maybe think about it like this. And then you have those aha moments, like, who's giving this advice? Like, I need to be taking this advice and going back. Yeah. And those are those moments I usually go back and my wife's getting ready in the morning, like, and you're pretty charged up today. Like, I just got to tell you about this, you know? And so it's, I think she's appreciated the change and a lot of the accountability that gets built into those bonds that you create with people on Rucks. You know, it's tough for me to talk anyway when I'm running, but like you have the rucking and it's a little bit better, to have those relationships. And again, it creates that intimate setting where it's okay. And you're still getting workout in, just not, you know, my side hurts. I think I can throw up every 2 seconds, right, like running does for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's been a few times too, where, you know, I've been rucking with, you know, a group of guys and, because at one point at the maze, right, they were doing the fruck or whatever, the faith ruck, or so I do think it really just lends itself to like, we could walk together and be silent, or we could like talk about something meaningful. And I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're here, you know, guys in F3 are going to talk about something meaningful.
And I love the evolution of this too, because a lot of cues that I've seen rock at the ruckus or just pre-rucks, they almost come with questions, right? Kind of similar to the faith rock. Like Tooth Fairy did a great one the other day of like, hey, tell me about your high of the week. Tell me about your low. Tell me about a prayer request you had. And that, again, very simplistic, right? But it blew my mind because I started having a conversation with somebody and I was like, that's your low for the week? Like, that's pretty awesome, man. Like, no offense, like, don't take this the wrong way, but that's pretty cool. And it was like that unique perspective that you're able to lend somebody, like, yeah, you know what? That really isn't that bad. And I think it doesn't come up all, or it doesn't come about if it's not an evolved cue situation like that. So it's just, it's neat to see where it's come, to be honest with you.
Really cool. What about some of the other kind of second F type of things, like assuming coffee is something that you found some of those relationships in, or like Q-Source. Did you ever get into Q-Source at all?
Yeah. And that's so we're very fortunate where we live is on that 156th and Dodge perspective. So we've got just
perfect
ton of different sites every single day. And barbershop, when I first started, was the queue at sub queue at Combine, and I loved the way he did Q-Source, right? Like, I tried to read Q-Source, to be honest with you, it was like Chinese. I was like, I don't know. But having somebody like him facilitate it, really connect the dots to it, it helped tremendously. And I look forward to it every Friday. Like, unless there's like a flag pass, or you know, if there's something insane like a BQ going on, I'm usually trying to like leave that workout and go to Karma to hear Q-Source, just because I've developed those bonds with people. And it's a very unique place, right? And Q-Source sets the table with the questions, but to hear the unique perspectives that come out, the vulnerabilities that come out, you know, it charges me out. So yeah, the Q-Source I thoroughly enjoy. Again, sometimes I would encourage anybody who's new to F3, don't read it right away. Go to a well-orchestrated Q-Source and have somebody explain stuff. Otherwise, you'll just be like, a listener in a bull? Like, what? Yeah. What are we talking about? So, yeah but it's awesome. Yeah.
It's, if you tell them it was written by a guy who's a, you know, former military, now is a lawyer, and then I think he's sort of like, okay, I get some of the examples, but that would be the only, you know, I bought the book, the Q-Source book, and I remember thinking, I basically just paid to have the blog printed, right? Like, you know, but in the book, it does have some of the, like some of those terms defined. And that's been the, you know, probably the main use out of the book itself. Now, Q-Source is, it's always been one of my favorites. I think to your point, right? It just, like, we're all kind of going through the same stuff, you know, but hearing how somebody else is tackling that or the different perspectives is always been helpful. And then you hear guys that are just like, you know, I remember, I forget who it was, but at one of them, we're talking about mission and you hear somebody say, well, yeah, here's my family mission and our shared core values. And you're sort of like, oh, wait a minute. I thought I was crushing it, but I'm really behind, you know, on some of this stuff. So it just helps, you know, also to kind of keep you pushing forward.
Yeah. Again, it's like, man, I thought I was good just getting the girls out of bed and into school on time today. And you guys have a mission statement? Like, what does that look like?
So, yeah.
And it's funny too, because you say that, but intrinsically you come to peel the layers of the onion and you realize you do have one. You may not be well articulated or, you know, written out, but there's a lot of similarities in that. And I think that's what makes us inquisitive at QSource and be able to be vulnerable and try to seek that information out. Cause it's so neat to see the different evolution.
Yeah. You were talking about Rocket Man and that's old McDonald's son, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. He was at coffee one day, sort of a tangent here, but and he was talking to me about his music career, and so I had to connect him with Jukebox, because you know, if you know Jukebox is a famous Christian musician out there. He's got, at least has a CD, so it's just kind of cool, right? Because then the more you learn, then you start connecting people with like, well, you need to talk to this person. And but yeah, that's cool to hear that Rocket Man's been coming out, because I think you see a young man like that who's just trying to find his place in the world, right? And he's got, obviously his dad loves him, he's got other siblings, but to have other men really stewarding, you know, how he's interacting with life after school or life in the season he's in, I think is just super important.
Yeah, and it helps, I think, as a person who's not old, I would say, but like more tenured in life than him, right? Like you get to hear that struggle, and it kind of helps you remember your own life and how much you come from, but also like how you can help other people. I think that's the other part of the fellowship aspect that I really like about F3 is it's taught me like, hey, if you feel like you're down and out, or maybe you're having a rough week, like go do something for someone else. Like Toto was doing a QSource a couple of weeks ago at Combine. It was like an epiphany to me. It was like, every time I have like these pity parties for myself, some cool event comes up, right? Like it's the paint-a-thon or it's helping out at the Heart and Hope. And you just go do something for someone else and it helps you realize like, man, you got to check your perspective, right? And really be comfortable being grateful for what you have and how far you've come. And I think like just that's something that F3's taught me. It's like, man, this is such a better way of coping and like than anything else. It's being around these guys and putting yourself out there to do something for someone else. That servitude and that stewardship it's incredible. And it definitely has changed my perspective a lot.
Heck yeah. Well, you know, just as you were talking through that, it made me kind of curious, right? I'm like, okay, well, you know, who's Killian's, right? He's always happy. He's always got the coolest shoes, shows up in the coolest truck, you know, so I was curious, what does get you down, or what are, I don't know. I was trying to think through like, cause even just that response, right. Of just like, when I get down serving other people, you didn't start there. So I'm just curious, like what maybe events or experiences got you to this place where like, that's the angle you're approaching life from.
You know, I'm a fairly large perfectionist on a lot of things. I like to be the best at a lot of stuff. And you start to realize in life, like that's not really the way you want to be. It jeopardizes relationships. It can make you come off overly critical. Like my kids are a great example. Like I love my kids to death. But like I'm starting to see, you know, some of the things that I may have thought were really a big deal. You know, just being overly tough. And I used to say like, oh, I'm not mean, I'm firm, but I'm fair. It's like, what are you talking about? Don't, you're being fair to your kids? Like gross. So it's you know, trying to see it from their perspective and really give them the tools and abilities that I don't think I really got as a kid. And that's not a knock on my parents. It's just different generations, right? Like you can be okay being a dad that cries. You can be okay being the dad that gets their fingernails painted or whatever, or plays dolls. It's okay, right? It's about being that supportive husband then showing them, oh, this is what a relationship should look like. So, and I say that I still struggle every single day with them, you know, and check myself. And, you know, you ask like, what gets me down is failure. Right. And being consumed with failure and looking back and like, man, I could have done better here, or I could have been done something different. And I don't always have the best coping mechanisms. I'm a big fan of the Friday afternoon club, which is, you know, hey, we've got an hour before the kids need to be picked up. Let's go have a beer. And I think that's fine to a certain extent, but then those can become weekly, and then they become like, hey, let's go Thursday night instead. You know? And so I think my wife is a great checks and balance on that. She is every bit as small as Doppler, right? But like just very commanding in terms of like holding me accountable. And I love that because I don't know who I'd be without her. And similarly, like without F3, like having that same accountability, it's two hands go very well. And she's very appreciative, I can tell you, about a lot of the brotherhood that we have here, because it has helped me turn over some new starts and try to do some different things. So yeah, it's a process though. And I would tell anybody out there, like, I've done therapy, done a lot of other, you know, things to try to connect, and there's no right or wrong. I think, and there's not a singular answer to it. It's not a problem that you're going to solve on your own. It's certainly a community problem, but it's certainly something that you've got to continuously strive and get better and put it into perspective every day. So it's helped me a lot in those terms.
I love it. It's cool to hear, you know, because similarly, right, I've been a perfectionist at times, but just hearing you were able to like essentially change what you were aiming at, right? Realizing like the target, I had the wrong target, right? I got a lot of good habits and tools and things in place, but was just aiming at the wrong thing. And then at least in my experience, like once I realized perfection is not the goal, then I have more freedom to fail. And then you just, you know, kind of over time, you start to realize like, oh, well, failure is just more information for the next iteration, I think was a quote I saw on Twitter the other day. But it's hard to put that into place daily when you've been a perfectionist for the first, you know, half of your life, right?
And you actually gave me the book suggestion. I think it's From Strength to Strength or something like that. And it was perfectly timed because it was right when I was giving up the flag at the Ruckus. I don't know why, but I was overly emotional about that. Like, and I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm definitely like, you might have been a little bit over the top for that. But it was perfectly timed book, and it specifically talked about like being okay. And learning that like it's not about money, it's not about the car, the house, whatever. It's your journey getting there, realizing like it is going to get better, it's going to get worse, and that's all about the progress of getting there. It was a great example of like just taking that step back and realizing like it's okay to be sad about stuff, it's okay to have those feelings, but what are you going to do next, right? And challenging yourself to put that another foot in front of it. So yeah, it was a great suggestion.
Well, want to get your thoughts too, because a big part of this, right, is the spiritual third F component. And you kind of gave us pieces of this, but kind of talk us through like what was, you know, faith, what did that mean to you growing up as a kid? And then it sounds like when your mom passed, maybe a little dip. And so I would love to hear kind of how did you get through that time? And maybe was there anything within F3 that was helpful, that if a guy is in that same spot that you would recommend they kind of lean into?
So in preparation for this, I went back and started looking at some of my COTs that I've written out for it. And it's a lot of themes in there, you know, about patience and anger and dealing with stuff and really putting yourself in the hot seat to be okay taking that feedback and that criticism in terms of like, you need to do better. And that's okay. Everybody does. But like, how are you going to do it? So I think for my faith, that played a big proponent, because when I was growing up, like I said, faith was everything to us. My dad played in the church band, you know, so we were there every Sunday, regardless of whether you wanted to go or not. And it just kind of built in that habit of like, this is where you need to be, which is I'm eternally grateful, because it helped shape the person I am. And I think I'm pretty good at some things, not great at others, but, you know, it's helped. And to see that kind of go down the drain during a time that you need it the most, it was a character flaw myself in terms of being okay with that failure and being okay with that hurt and trying to deal with it the correct way. And so, you know, I think what really was the inflection point of getting out of that was getting back into shape and having that pride in yourself and realizing that it's okay. Like, I've been to COTs where guys say, hey, I didn't really prepare anything for this. And then they'll go on a 15-minute rant of something that we're all in tears at the end. Like, how am I crying? What just happened? So It's a masterful experience, but those inflection points there, you realize you're not alone. You realize that this isn't wrong, right? To feel this way, and it's okay expressing it, but it's also even better to really figure out yourself and how you're going to handle that challenge next time, because it's not going to be the last time. Right? Like, death is as much a part of life as life. It's just another iteration of it, and so it's gonna catch us all, as they say. But it's what we're doing now to prepare ourselves and prepare the people around us, right? Like, I go back to my kids and I want them to be like, yes, we're sad, but he was awesome. And it was, mm-hmm. you know, we move on with our life. You're not sad anymore. And I would love to distill it down to that easy of a formula. I'm sure it's not going to ever get there, but certainly instilling the values of faith. And I know sometimes there's some Sundays where I'm like, what would you rate your experience? Or what would you rate your performance? And they're like, four, five, like, being generous, but they're going to continue to go. And I think they're seeing the impact of it just around us. And also seeing my wife, like, she recently became an EMHC, and seeing their mom up there, like, doing the Eucharist was nuts. Like, are you serious? Like, she's up there. And I was like,
she's famous.
I think I was more red than I am now. I'm like super excited and trying to sneak a cell phone video, which I'm sure is illegal in some shape or form. But just it's those moments and trying to instill in them that, like, having a faith-based life, whatever you believe in, right? It doesn't matter. But having that faith and having that something to believe in carry you through it, sort of the hardest, darkest times of your life. And just that's kind of my encouragement is look for it. Because sometimes it's not as easy as being like, oh, I'll just go to church. Sometimes you have to work at it. It's just like a marriage or any other relationship.
Yeah, I love it. That's well said. I mean, I think it just... you know, my prayer too for a guy that's in a season of, you know, less, you know, maybe he's, something has happened and not really sure what he believes, would just be that they continue searching, you know, whatever it is, right? I think the only mistake you can make is if you give up, right? And so I think just like in F3, this idea that you got to believe in something bigger than yourself, really just, you know, between that and the COTs and the prayers and all of that, I think we create this space where a guy can search with no expectations, no judgment, and really find what it, you know, what fills that gap, for him, which is really cool. Do you feel like as you, cause I hear in your story, like, you know, timing, right? There are no coincidences, and just sort of this combo of, you know, the routine things we do in F3, but the relationships that you built and the timing of all that, it feels like totally meant to be. But I don't know if you reflected on that at all. Like, is it just kind of surreal to be like from where you were when you started to where you are today? I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Surreal is the right word. And sometimes I kind of like step back and look at like the scope. This. I think we're over like 3,000 guys in Omaha.
Yeah.
What's even crazier is, you know, going to other places. So I travel to Phoenix for work every couple times a year, and I hooked up with those guys and now have a relationship with them. And it's just so neat to see the impact of this organization, not just in Omaha, because it does feel kind of like siloed. Sometimes you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, how is not every city doing this? But then you do go to other cities and it's different shades, right? Like at different varying levels. And I think they're just a little bit different areas of the path there, but for me it's surreal to think that like you found something that was here for a number of years and you didn't know anything about it. It went on completely, I don't know, the shade of darkness kind of thing, but you almost feel kind of mad that you missed out and you didn't get in sooner, type of thing. Mad's probably not the right perspective, as like you talked about. I think things happen for a reason, but certainly it's wild to me to think that this thing that just is so small and so in its infancy, when you look at it in the bigger picture, has this great of an impact. But yeah, it's a different thing.
Yeah. I love it. Well, you know, the other thing, right, we're trying to invigorate male community leadership. So we do that with VQs and, you know, we let guys launch and lead sites. And, so we'd love to hear, you know, talk us through like what was, if you remember your VQ, would love to hear what that was like. And then would love to hear like from your perspective, what was that like launching the Ruckus and kind of how that journey has been?
So the first solo VQ was St. Patty's Day at Combine. I'm not proud of that one. In terms of like, I brought a cooler and I was like, hey, this is great. If you guys want, have a beverage or two. And then somebody, I think it was, who was it? Maybe it was Superfly. He looked at me and goes, you know, we're out of school, right? And I was like, oh, everybody, we got to go. So the workout itself, like I'm an amoeba when it comes to workouts. Like I will literally go back to my truck and like text myself like, oh, you got to do this next time. You got to do that. And I really think there's so many unique different types of workouts that you could do at F3. And there's some workout like exercise that you're like, where did you even come up with that? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I really relish those and try to incorporate them as much as I can. But I also like the gamified ones where it's like, hey, here's a lucky gold coin because it's St. Patty's Day.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today.
Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Tell me about launching the Ruckus.
Yeah, it was a crazy experience. It started, like I said, just with a couple of guys. You know, then that encouragement that comes in with all the things. F3 is just like, you should do this, man. And it was like, no, I've been in F3 for less than a year. There's no way. I do remember, you know, it kind of gaining traction. Like, hey, here, there's a rucking site that's going to start. I was like, who is saying this? No, no, we're not doing that. Which I'm glad it, you know, it caught a niche. You know, started to attract more people, and the idea started catching steam. And then I kind of went one weekend. I was like, I got a Twitter handle, I got a logo made. Just immediately, just jumped in with the idea. And then I remember again, like I said, Gator was like, hey, I'm going to come out to Bunstown, and we can talk about it after the workout. So I thought, like, all right, well, they're going to shut it down. I get it. Fair enough. He was like, who's going to lead it? Because it was me, Star Lord, Baby Mac, I think all I sitting around a table, and they all looked at me and I was like, whoa. Oh, yeah. Like I'll be a part of it as a lovely bystander. And they were like, no, it's got to be you. This is your baby. And it couldn't be further from the truth, right? Like there is absolutely nothing that would have gotten off the ground without those guys. And so I'm very humbled by the fact that I was able to be a part of the Ruckus' story and you know, contribute in some way, shape, or form to the F3 community, and just seeing it grow, seeing what Chalupa's doing with it. And, you know, I kind of catch myself sometimes like, who are you going to pick next? And I think we even talked about it at coffee. And it's like, ah, that's a great question. And just seeing the lineage of it grow and becoming one of the sites like Combine where you see Sparty, you see Barbershop, see this awesome lineage just go, and it continues to grow, right? So that's what I'm most looking forward to. But starting it was easy. I'll be honest. I don't want to make it sound too easy, but it was like, if you're very passionate about something and you really believe it's going to contribute, you'll get all the support in the world. And that just makes it incredibly easy. So I would love to tell you it was super difficult, you know, a couple hours of Twitter work and, you know, just having the right conversations and garnering that support, which you'll always get, it kind of became itself.
Well, it was so cool. I just remember Gator and I talking about, you know, Coronado, right? Coronado was sort of our first venture into like, okay, let's do something that is intentionally lower impact, right? Like, let's try to intentionally cater to guys that the barrier to entry is high and we're not getting them to even show up. Well, then Coronado started doing so well and we're sort of like, where do those guys go on Tuesdays? You know, and then it just started to become like, you know, okay, well, let's like, if I'm a guy that can't do a Murph and all the other things, and I want to go 5 days a week, like, let's map that out. Do we even have sites every day of the week that somebody could go to as they're in that early stage of their fitness journey? And so I think it fits so nicely. And you look at some of these guys that they have a chance now to be a part of it that before, you know, they weren't showing up to a Murph. They weren't showing up to run a halfway house but now, right. As we combine some of those efforts and try to do more of that together, it's really, really cool. The impact that you're having through that site.
Well, and I would turn it around on you and the rest of the F3 leadership for embracing it. Cause again, it's not the most conventional, right, in terms of running, but, and I appreciate that fact, but what's even neat from that perspective is you guys incorporating it into other events, right? Like the CSOPs now have a ruck option where, if we're being honest, most of the guys would never go to a CSOP. Right. Never been to one. They're super fun. Please don't ever not go to one. Like seeing that many guys work out at once is just insane. Yeah. And it's a great experience. But that intimidation is real, right? Because you hear about it. It's like, what does this stand for again? Like, yeah okay.
Yeah.
But then having that ruck option that kind of made it in there, but it's so tough, right? And I think that was such a neat maturation point for F3 Omaha, is seeing that not just, hey, no, if it's too tough, you can't go. And I don't think anybody's ever said that or applied that, but in your head, you're like, I can't run 7 miles or right, I can't do that. Right, but
yeah,
having that ruck option there was incredibly insightful from a leadership standpoint, because you guys were the ones that were like, hey, what do you think about putting a ruck piece to it? Yes, let's do it. All things yes. No, I think that was really cool on you guys to like be open and, you know, being willing to at least try it. And I think it was a great success.
What do you think from a leadership perspective? Maybe I would be curious, like maybe it wasn't the leading a site or doing your VQ, but like how has F3 maybe helped you grow as a leader? Can you pinpoint anything or what would be your response there?
Yeah. So it's odd timing because I, you know, in my role at my work, you know, I've been a people leader for a while. And I wouldn't say a good one, right? In terms of like, I kept the lights on, you know, I was passionate about seeing other people get to that next level of the role, but by far and large, wasn't necessarily pushing myself to take on responsibility. And over the course of F3, and like I said, building those leadership skills and that vulnerability and really being okay identifying my personal white space, but also my professional white space and putting myself in that uncomfortable position to grow. You could tell red face, don't like talking in front of people. But I now push myself to lead town halls of our department, 200 people, like push myself to, I was just an acting director of our department because I was like, I would love to do that one day. And it took over a year of like kind of prodding and like, hey, I would really like to do this. And then the opportunity came up and like, we could think of no other person but you. And that's the kind of thing that F3 has done, is it's pushed me to get uncomfortable, but be comfortable at being uncomfortable type of thing. You know, that's incredibly cliche and it's stupid to say, but it's so simplistic. And that's why it works, is just putting yourself out there. And so I would say that's helped me tremendously professionally. And even people around me have noticed that, like, he's going to raise his hand. Like, I'm terrible at Excel, right? I'm like, I want to build an Excel formula for this and try to wow some nerds on my team with it, you know, and like have that support and just be vulnerable. Like, I suck at this. It's okay to suck at this. But again, putting yourself in that position of like, how are you going to get better? Well, try it. So that's definitely translated not only to fitness, but certainly the professional aspect of it is giving me that confidence to kind of push and continue to grow. You get into a place where a lot of jobs, you're just like, yeah, it's 9 to 5. I go home. This is one microcosm of my job or my life. It's now, what else can you do? How can you get better at it? Really be proud of what you're putting out there.
I love it. That's really cool. I do want to try something. We recently did a rapid fire, some rapid fire questions. So just kind of a quick, 10 to 15 second answer here, if you think about it. And I don't have these questions pre-planned, so these would just be rapid fire for both of us. But you ready? All right.
Yeah.
Please. You're in the hot seat. So, favorite exercise?
Oh, man. Probably Merkins right now.
Okay. Least favorite exercise?
Carolina dry docks.
Okay. A site that you haven't been to but would like to go to?
Probably one of the F3 Navy ones. That's a really cool thing for me, and I did not make it out to any of them, I'm ashamed to say, but I wanted to.
Okay, F3 Navy, yeah. What about who's a guy you see on the queue schedule and you avoid going to their workouts?
Easily Kryptonite. Yeah, no, you can keep that dark web all you want, my man. No thanks.
What's one of the hardest beatdowns you've been to? Who was the cue there? Do you remember?
yeah, probably kryptonite. When I looked over and he was doing the dark web with a vest on, I was like, no thanks. He puts a great beat down. Stripes puts a great beat down on Wait Time, obviously, with the Steinle is always fun too. So there's quite a few of them out there. Mulligan, surprisingly enough, him, yeah. I'm like, maybe I'll go do something else that day. So
who does your favorite COTs?
Oh man. That's tough. I'm a big fan of yours. I like your vulnerability. I would say KOA also does a really, really solid COT. He came out the combine not that long ago and was one of those good inflection COTs.
What's an AO idea that you have that you think we should implement?
I know everybody expects a rocking one. But I would say more of a weight-based one. I think like that's something that my shield lock and I have been talking about a lot is like, we're getting good at push-ups, but push-ups get old, right? And some of us are kind of yearning for that lifting stuff. And there's Block Party and there's a couple other ones that are Zarvin that I think are really cool, but I think expanding those further west.
Nice. What about, what's one of your favorite nicknames that's out there?
Floaties right now. Floaties only because I just went to his workout and I love that guy. Like he's just such a ball of energy in life that Floaties, I would say.
What's do you have any nicknames sort of stored in the back pocket that you're hoping to name somebody someday?
I've had a couple that rang through, like Pipes was mine, which I thought was awesome. I think I did Bulge for one person and they were like, no, we can't say that in church. I was like, it's bike shorts. Come on, Luke. So no, I've got a couple that float around, but none of mine, I always get reminded like, you gotta be able to say it in church. Like, all right, well then move on.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate that. You're off the hot seat. I kind of like that segment. We used to always ask some of those questions and, when Stripes did it the other day, it just got me thinking we could bring that back. So you're the first, second guy that we've done the hot seat with. So you should be honored for that. Anything else as you think about, just your story, your journey, maybe advice for other guys, anything that we didn't cover that, you would love to just get off your chest or share with listeners?
I would say the advice I have is it's very similar to a lot of the other people out here, leaning in and putting yourself out there. And don't stop leaning and don't stop being vulnerable. But also don't stop looking back and being grateful. And just having that gratitude and perspective of, just because you've made it this far, now you can do it. Now you can do this work. Really be grateful and look back to see how far you've come. Don't get lost on the fact that, like, sure, I can run 2 miles straight. I'm sure I can do 100 Merkins, whatever. But just be grateful that God put you in a place in your life that you are comfortable with whatever you're struggling with. And just know that although that is a unique thing in that you are the person or any new situation, but you're not alone. And to share that gratitude with other people out loud sometimes, you'd be surprised how many times you walk into a room with a smile and you say, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And you get the token, "Oh, good, my response now is I'm grateful to be here." And you always kind of get look, but that's something I'm working on personally, is to champion that grateful attitude.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. Well said. And definitely something, I need to work on as well. So I appreciate you sharing that. It's been so good just to hear your story and just, you know, appreciate you being vulnerable here and just, again, you know, your leadership, in F3, but also really cool to hear how you're leading in your family and out there in the community too. So just appreciate you, brother. We'll do a little Nemo to end us out here. I'll start us off. Brandon Fleehardy, 39, The Plague.
Pat O'Reilly, 39, Killians.
Killians. And what's your call sign? Do we have one? We need to come up.
Pretty token Irish, I'd be like, but you
awesome. Appreciate you, brother. Have a good rest of your day.
Hey, thanks so much.